with that, let's get into today's interview. Again, we have with us Kimber Glidden. Kimber, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you were formerly a librarian at our East Bonner County Library.
I was the youth services coordinator.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I worked with the kids and the teens.
And about 9 months ago, you took a position in Boundary County as the director of their library.
Correct.
But you recently resigned. Actually, this has been getting national attention. You've been interviewed by CNN and MSNBC and NPR, and I know other outlets are interested in it because it's what's gone on in Boundary County seems to be indicative of our times, where people are both, you know, more at each other and more confrontational. Mm-hmm. So, with that much of an introduction, tell us what went on and what led to your resignation.
Sure. So not long after I took on the directorship up in Bonner's Ferry, it was February actually of this year, I had a mom come in and she wanted to know if we had the book Gender Queer, which of course is that national buzzword book that has created so much sensation, and we do not have the book in our collection. So a conversation pursues, and she asked if I would add the book to the collection. And I told her, well, probably not. We would get it through Interlibrary Loan Service because of the makeup of our community. I said, however, if we started to get multiple requests for the book, then we would have to look at adding that to the collection. That is what a public library does. And that was the wrong answer for her. And so she took it, she came in several times, coming to board meetings, got other moms involved, other parents involved, took it to Facebook. And here we are today. It was such a surreal process because of talking to these, to our community members and letting them know that this is a public library. This is the process that we go to, that we are aware when we put books in the collection of the community that we serve. But there is that other part to providing library services, which is that there's something for all members of the community. And we have to look at requests. And so just as taking over as a new director, as part of the job that I started right away was a policy manual audit. So that was something that the board and I had started to undertake right away because it hadn't been updated in a while. And you just want to make sure it's current and has all the current state statutes. So we landed upon the collection policy, or the collection development maintenance policy. And it took us, I think, 2.5 or 3 months to get that to where it was current, where we needed it. So that came to the June 16th board meeting is when that particular policy was talked about. By this time, we had I need to back up just a bit. I'm sorry. More and more people started coming to our board meetings, which were held in the children's section of the library. Well, our library is small, so it filled the space to capacity, and some members of the community started to come armed, which is perfectly acceptable. We can't say that you can't come in, but it made some people uncomfortable, and that was just, we felt inappropriate in a children's section. So to not only have more people there, but also to remove it from to be able to, you know, have more people at the meetings and to remove it from the children's section, we moved our meetings to the armory or the probation office. So much bigger space. They have a nice meeting space up there and it can hold up to about 80 people in the space. So that worked better. Now we're to the June 16th board meeting. Over 130 people showed up to that meeting. I don't know that I want to go so far as to say protest, but there were a couple of community churches that got together. They held a prayer vigil to pray for the church's soul. One of the community members of the church took up to blowing a shofar, which is the Jewish goat horn. Mm-hmm. And so they were blowing that. And then the public comments came in. Our board members debated the policy. So one of our board members thought, you know, there is a constituency here and they have concerns. And so I will give them a voice at this board meeting. And so he's the one who said, well, should we look at putting certain materials on closed shelves? And then another one of our board members took up, no, that's not, that goes against the freedom to read. And so they debated that. It was put before a vote before the board and it passed as written 3-1. It was beautiful government, I thought. It was a great way that they enact, you know, that they talked about it. It was really well done. Well, it was right after that that the four, so three of the board members that were there that voted for the policy, and then our chair was absent from that meeting, but they've included him in the recall effort. So this group of people, they got together with members of the American Redoubt and the Lordship Church and a couple of other churches, and they started a Recall the Board movement. And the rhetoric just started getting louder and louder, and Facebook started getting meaner and meaner and just coming in and demanding that we don't put any of it. Really, all of the books that they're looking to ban are LGBTQ plus themed, Black Lives Matter, or critical race theory. At one point, some member of the community sent our chair a list of 400 books being passed around throughout the state of Idaho that they want to make sure that we don't get, and none of those books are on our shelves.
Really? None of the 400?
None of the 400. And so where this story, I think, gets interesting and breaks off just a bit from the national dialogue that's happening is these groups that are forming, and it's talking about banning books. So some of the language is exactly the same. The list of books is exactly the same across the country. But in Boundary County, where we don't have the books, these groups are no longer even hiding behind the veneer of it being about book banning. So if you don't have the books, then what does that mean that this is really about? And it's just, to me, become very, very clear that this is about controlling whose stories get told, what information people are allowed access to. And so that took on a much different tone. And then also earlier in the year, I rejoined the American Library Association. And for those who don't know, it's essentially a trade organization for libraries. Well, this group of people has also said that that is a fascist left-wing hate group, and it is their agenda to groom children for pedophiles. And so we've also started to get into that talk, that we really want to provide sexually explicit material to children to groom them for pedophiles. And yeah, it's been... I've told this story so many times, and it still seems just so unbelievable.
What it led up to ultimately your resignation? Was there a straw that broke the camel's back, or what? At what point did you say I can't do this anymore? I'm going to step down.
So there's just been a lot of vitriol, and do you know how many times you can get threatened biblically? It's shocking. It's actually shocking. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those come in pretty regularly. And there is something that is intimidating when somebody threatens you with scripture about putting a millstone around your neck and casting you into the sea, or, you know, bring curses upon your head. And I would be surprised if you weren't already feeling these experiences. Mm-hmm. And you know, be sure that the entire library collection is developed through God's eyes and not the eyes of man. But don't worry, you have time to get yourself right with the Lord before there will be retribution. So there's all of these types of things. And then somebody shows up at our house and they're looking at my truck. I'm inside, my husband's outside, and they want to talk to him. And he's just like, get off of our property. And he watches them drive down the road. they just sit down at the end of the road for a while. They go to one of our other neighbors' houses, and he just thought, you know, with the Bible tracts in their hands, other than it made him uncomfortable. Well, the next day, my neighbor comes, and she says, honey, I think they're looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my son is on high alert. They want to talk about protecting the children. It's mm-hmm. just really tragic, actually, the way that the children are actually responding to this. But at some point, it was like, where is my safety really worth it? And when I'm uncomfortable walking across the parking lot, or my husband doesn't want me to go to the store by myself, or these sorts of things. So it was really the day that they showed up at our house that made me say, this is far enough. So, never in a million years did I think that a resignation would create such a conversation, not just locally or nationally, but internationally.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if the library were to enact a ban on these mm-hmm. books that the library didn't even have,
mm-hmm.
Would they still be available through interlibrary loan? How does the ban work?
That actually depends on, my guess would be that would depend on what the library's policy on such a thing would be. Public libraries, as a general rule, do not enter into a book banning lightly. So there is a process that you can ask that materials be reconsidered. So you fill out a form, and then there's a process that is in policy that you can ask for a book to be reviewed. And that's always been there. We did update the form to make it a little more comprehensive to get more information on it. And so that's always been in place. And so we could do that for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes before a committee, and then it goes before the board to vote on. So that's how that would go mm-hmm. at our library.
So you've been getting a lot of grief, and I assume, well, the board members have been as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. because there's a recall movement underway on them. What do you have been getting support as well from other members of the community?
There has been such a beautiful outpouring of support for our library. It just recently in our newspaper, the Bonner's Ferry Herald, there was a group of people who wrote a beautiful letter, and 508 people had signed in support of the library. And we get people every day, is there still time to sign support for the library? Mm-hmm. We get people asking, what can we do? How can we get involved? How can we, please don't resign? Because mm-hmm. my last day is not until the 10th. So I'm still acting director right now. So we've had a huge outpouring of support. And then just recently, because of all of this media, so much support from across the whole world. And just yesterday we got an email from a woman in England who these are the ones that just break my heart and say, we have to carry on. She actually lived through the Irish Rebellion, and so she knows what armed conflict and book banning looks like and feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just so scary for her. So we're getting, you know, and then they're like, please don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
So are the other board members, I imagine they're getting heat individually mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
How are they reacting to it? Because at some point they might say, I didn't sign on, you know, I want to do public service, but I didn't sign on for this kind of duty.
That is such a great point, Chris. And you know, they're volunteers. So they're voted in. They volunteer their time for this. It's a fantastic way for somebody to give back to their community. And normally it's kind of a neat way to be involved. We have a really strong, dynamic board, and their fortitude is very impressive. So they're holding up well. I think some days are better than others. And just like the staff at the library, myself, you know, at times I'm sure that they do feel for their safety, you know, that they're concerned for their safety a bit. It's a pretty contentious atmosphere up mm-hmm. there in Boundary County right now.
Mm-hmm. Is the board, how long has the, is have the board members been sitting? Have they been around for a while and this is new, or are they new board members?
Oh, so great question. Mm. We have four that are long-term board members, mm-hmm. and we have one that actually came on. He was appointed to his seat to fill a seat that had recently come available because we had one of the trustees pass away. Mm-hmm. And so he was appointed in December. So Lee Colson and I actually both started in December at the library. Mm-hmm. So he has some library experience in his pocket. His wife was a school librarian, and I worked with his daughter here at the Sandpoint Library, who's now going to school to get her MLS. So he's familiar with the process.
Yeah. But I guess my point there being, so the board, it's not like there was a radical takeover of the board that led to some sort of reaction. It's more or less been the same library for a while, and
it
suddenly attracted attention from a from a different element.
It has, yeah. The library was actually best small library in the nation in 2002 and in 2017, and it's also considered an Idaho State gem. So there's a lot of really great stuff going on there. It's an experienced board, and this group of people want to displace them to take over, so their ideology is the only ideology that is reflected in the collection. Mm-hmm. So, and they've kind of let us know that that's their intention.
So I guess one question would be, if you are suspicious of the library or you don't like the library, don't go. Don't let your kids go. Mm-hmm. But their intent is to make sure that other families and kids don't have any kind of exposure to these particular books.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and we had one woman, and this is when I just knew this was something bigger that was happening, when early on in this process, I had one mom who is an avid library user. She's there all the time with her family. They check out so many books. And she was very concerned about this. And I actually asked her, have you seen any materials that you're uncomfortable with? Well, no, she says. And I'm like, okay. I said, well, because you're such a library user, I'm going to ask you to trust your own experience with our library. She looked me right in the face and says, I don't know what your agenda is.
Hmm. Yeah.
Are you able to kind of speculate on where this came from, where this started, without responsibly speculate, I guess.
Responsibly speculate.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, this really is something that's going on across the country. There's been book bans. There's been librarians that have refused to ban books. They've lost their jobs. So this has really been going on now for the better part of a year, I would have to say, since late 2020, early 2021. So some of the language that we're seeing is very similar to what you would see for Moms for Liberty or, you know, one of those particular groups. So how it landed, I don't know how it landed so squarely in Boundary County, especially when we don't have the books.
Yeah, that's one of the more interesting facets of this, is that it doesn't seem to be addressing any particular, it's not like some parent found a book that they didn't like in their kid's backpack or something like that. The book wasn't there to begin with, but it's possible.
I do have a funny story I can share.
We have time.
We have time. So this, we found out on Facebook, and the post has since been pulled, but one of the members of the recall posted on Facebook that one of her friends had come into the library and found the book Lawn Boy in the paperbacks, and so she took it and threw it away to protect the children from the smut.
Yes.
Well, we've never had Lawn Boy by Jonathan Ivinson in our collection. She took Lawn Boy by Gary Paulsen and threw it away. And so once that was immediately pointed out, ironically, that post got pulled down, and we were mean for for making fun and whatever. And we weren't making fun. We were just letting the community know.
Mm-hmm. And correcting some misinformation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Just correct misinformation. And we didn't file a police report, but we did let the police know and that had been something that had occurred. But because the post had been pulled down, there was no way for them to go and question the person and say, which one of your friends? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so it's interesting. Got to be careful. Get the right book.
Huh. I've never even heard of that book, honestly. But.
Yeah. Well, there's out of 400, there's probably most of those books you haven't heard of.
I know. Yeah. On that list. I know. I mean, I'm just thinking, so somebody must have like memorized the titles of all the books and they were just down the list or going through the aisles looking for one.
Looking for just one. Uh-huh. Oh, there's Lawn Boy, but forget to check to make sure it's the correct. Yeah. But there's interesting titles on that too, like Who Was Frederick Douglass?
Huh.
Which is a children's book about Frederick Douglass, the historical figure. So there are some books. I mean, every book that somebody wants to ban, I feel like that's just a really concerning mindset for somebody to have.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to look where there are only particular themes that they're looking to remove, that's mm-hmm. more concerning.
Mm-hmm. So how does a library come up with its collection management policy? I assume you mentioned the American Library Association mm-hmm. as a professional organization. I imagine there are like standards that libraries generally want to follow in order to maintain the free flow of information to the public.
That is correct. Yes. And so they offer guidelines for what a collection policy might look like. So, they base it off of the freedom to read, the Office of Intellectual Freedom, First Amendment rights, so the Library Bill of Rights. So all of these documents, when you take them together, are what the American Library Association just kind of puts out like an outline. So they don't tell you specifically what your library's policy has to do. They act merely in that capacity of this is a good outline for you to use. And then, of course, you look at your state statutes to make sure that those match the, you know, library law state statutes for the what your county or city might be, for what obscenity laws are, those sorts of things. So you make sure that they fit that as well. And all public libraries have a collection development policy. And so really you never have to go back and reinvent that wheel. What you do is you just go back and make sure that the language is current and the statutes haven't changed. So mm-hmm. so you're just current. And that is really all we did.
Mm-hmm. How big a change was it going to be, that June 16th policy change? Or I guess it was. How much of a change was it from where it had been sitting before?
It really wasn't much of a change. It mm-hmm. hadn't been updated, my guess is probably in at least 15 years. So some mm-hmm. of that language was just antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
We did beef up the reconsideration form to ask more detailed questions as to why somebody might want to do that, and really made a clear step-by-step process for somebody to challenge a book. And we did add language, and this was what was really unpopular, saying we would not restrict materials or put them on closed shelves based just to protect somebody from what their content might be.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've had the conversation with some of our community members, that the First Amendment, it has very much been set and codified by law that First Amendment rights also apply to children. So I've tried to make it very well known that in your own home, you can restrict access, you know, your child's First Amendment rights. But what you cannot do is ask me as a government entity to suppress somebody's First Amendment rights. And I mm-hmm. told them I will not be in violation of a federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what they're asking for, not just me, but any librarian that is going through this, any library district or system that's going through this. They're actually putting us directly in violation of federal law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is, the First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you what, why don't we take a very short break here, and then I'd like to come back with a couple more areas to explore. One is your experience with the national media, because this has blown up so much, and then you get your thoughts on what the way forward is for Boundary County Library on this whole situation. So we're going to hear a song that we discussed here briefly before we queued it up. It's this has got Diana Krall in it, but it's The Chieftains and Art Garfunkel, and it's Morning is Broken. And we wanted to see what this is like, folks. This is only a little over 2 minutes. We'll be back with more with Kimber Glidden, director of the Boundary County Library, in just a moment. And that was Morning Has Broken by The Chieftains with Diana Krall and Art Garfunkel, interestingly enough.
Yeah, an old Cat Stevens song.
An old Cat Stevens song, yes.
That was really pretty.
Yeah. Very nice harmonies on that. If you're just tuning in, this is the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. I'm the host, Chris Bessler, with my co-host, Jack Peterson, and we are talking with Kimber Glidden. She's the director of the Boundary County Library in Bonners Ferry. She just resigned, and we're talking about the whole reason for that resignation and the it's more than a kerfuffle up there.
Kerfuffle.
that's going on. And there are a couple of things that I wanted to ask about, Kimber. One is the national media has really been wanting to cover this story. And you've been talking to a lot of different national media, including MSNBC, CNN, NPR. You mentioned earlier that a media outlet in New Zealand even.
Talk show. Yeah. Tom Daly called me, and it was like, who is this Tom Daly? So that was early on. And yeah, and it was in New Zealand. And the reason they reached out is because they're just so struggling to try to figure out how this is happening in America, and it just doesn't happen there. And they were kind of just baffled. So, yeah.
I think the culture wars, and actually we can call them culture wars because they feel like war, doesn't it? we're seeing is mystifying to other democracies around the country, because we've been the standard. We were the first democracy, a representative democracy, what's going on with this and other things is kind of shaking the confidence of the world in our country, I think. That's just an observation. But, what angles do the national media take when they talk to you?
Actually, it's really interesting, and it has been such a learning experience. And one that, I mean, I'm really happy to have been a part of, though I don't know that under these circumstances that was exactly what I was looking for. So MSNBC, CNN, NPR, any of these, national media, they interview me, community members, board members. They have reached out to members of the recall group. They have reached out to members of the Redoubt movement, of the churches. So they really have done this amazing job. None of these articles or coverage came out quickly. Weeks of research and looking into it and looking over documents, and then CNN spent four days in Boundary County, and the recall the board movement, they won't talk to any of the national media. They have nothing to say. They won't tell their side of the story. And so I thought that was really great to see the process, I guess, the process of what media actually goes through, and then to see where the story has turned up in some places. And it's even turned up in a few far right wing articles that they've never reached out to me, never reached out to the board. They've never done any of that type of due diligence to make sure that there's accurate and balanced reporting. So it's kind of an interesting thing to be part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned that they're not the folks that are pushing for this ban aren't talking to the national media. And I think in the CNN clip, I watched that, they mentioned that when they came to a board meeting, none of the pro-ban people even showed up.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was It was the first time since I'd gone to work in Boundary County that we were able to just do business, talk business, not be interrupted, not have a bunch of people sitting there cross-armed, mean-mugging us, for lack of a better word. And so it was like really, really interesting, you know, and one of our board members at the end of that clip is like, here's to boring board meetings, because that's what they always used to be. So
How has the Bonner's Ferry Herald been covering it? Or there's also the I think it's the Kootenai Valley Times. It's all digital publication up there.
9B News. Yeah. So we do Emily Bosong from the Bonner's Ferry Herald. She has been providing us with an awful lot of coverage. And she does a really good job. She's young reporter, but she does really well for a small community. And I know that she writes for you guys here too. For the Bee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she does a really good job. You know, 9B News has never asked for an interview. So I think that just takes different things. Like when I write something and post it on our library website, that gets posted. Or if somebody writes in, then that gets posted. So that's just kind of almost like a collection of information. It's not vetted. It's not balanced. It's just, you know, and kind of a repository.
I think it's Mike Whelan that runs that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was a former reporter for the Herald or the Bee at one point. Mm-hmm. He has a journalism background, but you're right. Mm-hmm. It's more of an aggregator of news that's already out there rather than originating original stuff.
But he's a one man show. So I'm sure it's probably hard to get out there and cover everything.
Real quick, back to the board. Just for clarifying for our listeners, the library board is democratically elected, right?
Correct.
Okay, so there's an election every so often, and the community nominates and elects these people. What's a recall look like? I mean, if they mount a successful recall, what would that take? And then what happens?
Okay, so we actually need to deconstruct this a little bit.
Yeah.
Because of the recall, the board effort, they made some sort of clerical error, I do believe, in their petition. Uh-huh. And so I'm not 100% sure what that is. It's just my understanding that that's what happened, why they won't make the recall on the November ballot. So because of that, of being told they had a clerical error, now they are also enacting to recall our county clerk for propagating election fraud for the library board members. So when you, in the state of Idaho, when you run for a board, if you run unopposed, there is no election and you just get that board seat. And that is part of Idaho state law.
Yeah.
So some of our board members have run unopposed, therefore no election is necessary, and they get their seat.
Yeah.
So they hold their seats for 6 years. And they're staggered as to, you know, when they come up for election. So they make known that they're going to run. If nobody else says, I'm going to run too, then no election and you just retain your seat.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have that going on. So now there's been some fun articles about it being 40 years of election fraud and abuse of power of their library board seats. I don't know what power a library board has to abuse. But anyway, so the process is there's a certain percentage of electorates in each zone that have to be collected to recall each particular board member. And so that could mean that, like, if one zone met the requirements, that one might be up for a recall. And then it's like, do you want to recall these people? Do you not want to recall these people? If it's like, yes, we want to recall, then that trustee has an opportunity to give a 200-word rebuttal to why they shouldn't be recalled, or they can just resign right there. And then if they decide that they want to run, then they call a special election.
Interesting.
And expensive,
yeah.
When is the next regular election coming for the library board?
We have two seats that would be coming up in May, I do believe, of next year. So those would have rolled around anyway.
Mm-hmm. And so, the process may take that long to get the recall going anyways, so there may mm-hmm. be two seats that come up, and that would give you an indicator of where the community overall stands.
Correct.
Because that's what's unknown right now. Is this mm-hmm. They're very vocal, and 130 sounds like a lot of people, mm-hmm. but the population of the county is, what, over 10,000?
I think so at this
county.
Point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're really only hearing from a very small minority of the county that are engaged enough to come down. So where does Boundary County overall want their library to right. land on this?
And, you know, that is, I think, one of my biggest takeaways from this is these groups of people that have, you know, taken over in politics, in school boards, in library boards, in all of these capacities, they are highly motivated to vote and be involved with the intention of taking over local governments. And so while the silent majority, they call themselves, there might be many, many more of them, they're not as motivated to get out and vote. And so that's how come we can end up in some of these situations where it actually looks more dire than mm-hmm. it actually is. But once the political will has been changed, everybody else is subjected to it. So get out and vote.
Yes.
Get involved.
Yes.
Go to board meetings.
For all levels of government.
All now, levels. Absolutely.
You know, if we want to have a democracy and we want the will of the majority to be expressed, then the majority's got to get out there and exercise those rights mm-hmm. that come so... We forget, but they came at a great cost for this country, and we still have people that pay great costs to maintain our you know, democratically elected governments that we have.
Absolutely.
Well, Kimber, in 1 or 2 minutes, anything else that you would like to say?
I wish I would have thought of a joke so we had something funny to end on.
Mm-hmm. I have a joke.
Okay, let's hear it.
What's the difference between this is a G-rated joke? What's the difference between broccoli and boogers?
Fourth grade humor, I love it. I'm happy to announce I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
Little kids won't eat broccoli.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Snot is not a snack.
That's good.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you, Kimber Glidden, Director of the Boundary County Library, for being here and taking time to talk with us. Good luck with your path is taking you. It's a tumultuous time, I know. Jack?
Chris?
I want to say thank you for coming in to co-host. I kind of like the co-host thing. I've been not having a co-host recently, and I'm going to be in the hunt for one because it works a lot better.
It takes a little of the pressure off. I agree. Yeah. It's nice to have somebody else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And folks, this is just a reminder. KRFY is listener supported mm-hmm. commercial free community radio for North Idaho. If you'd like to support what we do here, then you can make a donation by going to krfy.org or you can call us 208-265-2992. And your donations are not only appreciated, we got to have them stay on the air because we have our fixed costs, even though all our broadcasters are volunteers. With that, we're going to go out with a song by John Craigie. It's called All of July. We're into September, so I figure, hey, we'll look back at July, at least see what John Craigie has to say about it. Everybody have a great week out there.